Good evening. Thanks to the Most High God and visitors at Grace and Hope Mission. It's nice that you come out. And happy birthday, Brenda. She's 4 years behind me. Before I go to the mission, I'd like to go before the Lord with a prayer. My Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come before your holy throne to thank you and praise you and glorify your precious name, Lord God. You've given us yet another Lord's Day to go forth and to worship you, Lord God. But I pray here tonight, Lord God, that someone will be saved, will come to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, and open their hearts up and invite him in. Use this message for thy glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight we're going to be reading from page, from the book of 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, and we're going to be reading about 5 verses. 1 Peter 4, 1 to 5. For the Bible says in the book of 1 Peter 4, 1 to 5, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself likewise with the same mind. For he that suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. For the pastime of our lives must suffer us to have wrought the will of Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, reveling, banqueting, and abominable adulterers, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them in the same excess of rioting, speaking evil of you. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the... And we're living in a society of people who like to party. This is a party generation. People like to go out, hang out in the nightclubs, get drunk, get high, gamble, hang out at OTB, go to Atlantic City, do all these sinful pleasures because we're living in a society that is controlled by the flesh. Now, Jesus Christ came in the flesh to save those who are in flesh. That's mankind. That's each and every one of us. But when you make a decision for Christ, they will put you down. It's funny, you know, when I was hanging out with my boys in 42nd Street years ago before I got saved, they thought I was cool. Hanging out, you know, listening to the filthy language, drinking the booze and hanging out in the bars, I'm all right. But when I gave my life to Christ, they said, Saul, you're acting strange, man. Saul, what's wrong with you, man? Saul, you got religion on us? What's wrong? You got religious now, Saul? You one of those Jesus fanatics? This is how people treat you when you want to stand for righteousness. So don't think it's strange when people may come up to you that used to hang out with you when you accept Christ and start looking down on you and start saying things that does not edify you. This is the spirit of this world. See, that's the spirit that works against God, the spirit of the devil. And if you're not in Christ, that spirit will have you doing things contrary to the word of God. And this is what's happening now in society. You know, during the Republican convention in New York, they had those people that around Madison Square Garden nude, proving their point. But see, this is the world's way of trying to prove their point, you know, committing sin. See, when we're trying to prove our point, we just use the Bible, the Word of God. We go back to the Bible, we show people in the Bible what they're doing is wrong. But you see, since we're living in the last days and time is really running out, there's a lot of ministers today and churches today is falling away from God's truth. So it's really hard to get sound doctrine. A lot of people, they listen to these so-called TV evangelists, but they're just talking about being prosperous, making it in this life, not preparing for the hereafter. So we have to be careful who we listen to, because who you listen to is what your mind is going to be set after. See, we have a mindset. We listen to the wrong people, get the mindset in the wrong things, and you never get saved. So this is why the Bible tells us about preaching the word in season and out of season, preaching God's truth. The Lord Jesus said in the book of John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth, for thy word is truth. But it's sad to see in these last days the word of God is not being preached like it should. It's nothing strange when you turn on your television, you go to one of those TV evangelists, and they start telling you about you should have a Rolls Royce or a big car, you should have a job making $100,000 a year. But see, Jesus Christ did not come down and die just to give us a Rolls Royce. He did not come down to die to give us a job making $100,000 a year. But he came down to die for our sins, to save our souls from going to hell. This is the purpose he came to this world. So when we get our focus right, knowing the purpose why Jesus Christ came, knowing what we should do with Jesus Christ before we leave this earth, then we can get saved. But as long as you have the focus of the world system, the party life, you never get saved. I say, you know, when people practice sin, it's just a way of suicide. It's just slow suicide. When you really think about it, you can see people smoke themselves to death, like our landlord. I love my landlord. You know, we was pretty close. He was, you know, we was really good. But anyway, he smoked himself to death. And many times I talked to my landlord about his cigarettes. He said, well, you know, you're going to die with something, but I'm a good person. I think I can make it. And he was a Roman Catholic. But I told him, you know, Roman Catholic, not born again Christians. And I gave him tracts. I hope he read them before he died. But anyway, he smoked himself to death. This is the consequence of sin. Sin will cut your life short, and sin will send your soul to hell forever. Now, the Bible tells us to come away from sin. When we follow Christ, we have to follow a lifestyle that goes contrary to this world system. This is why we look odd in a world that goes along with sin. So if you don't go along with their filthy jokes, they look at you like, what's wrong? You don't like what I'm saying? They like, you know, they want to get an attitude with you. But see, your ears should be for the Word of God. Your eyes should be for the Word of God. You know, the Bible speaks about being transformed, being renewed, renewing the body, renewing the mind, in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. So that's what we do when we come to Christ, renew our mind. How do you renew your mind? Reading, praying, and fasting, and listening to the Word of God. Because what you listen to has a lot to do with how you think. So your ears are there for a reason, to put thoughts in your mind. So we have to guard our ears and guard our eyes, so therefore we can have the mind of Christ. But see, in our society today, that's a lot of mess that's going on out there. You can just walk down the street, see all these billboards. They're filthy, but they're given a message, and that message is to rebel against God. So that's what Jesus did. He suffered in the flesh. So we have to suffer in the flesh too. That means we should not allow ourselves to go along with a system that goes contrary to the commandments of God. Because if you keep looking at something, you want to be a partaker of it. For you have to suffer in the flesh. You have to resist that. And how do you resist that? By standing on God's word. Because Jesus Christ, he went to the cross. He could have said, well, those people in that wolf might die on the cross. Now, why should I die for those people? Look at those people. They just keep ignoring my words. Look at those people. They just keep committing sin after sin after sin. I'm not going to waste my life for those people. But he didn't say that. He didn't say that. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. And the will of God is for Jesus Christ to die for the sinner. See, unless you can see that you are a sinner, you can never appreciate the salvation of Christ. And just like if you get sick. If you got sick and you have no symptoms, well, you would never need a doctor, even though you are sick, but there's no symptom to prove that you are sick. But when you have a symptom, you go to the doctor to find out what it is. See, we have a symptom called sin. And sin is a symptom against the soul of man. And the only one that can get rid of that sin is Jesus Christ. Now, we can go to a lot of religious programs. They have a lot of programs, self-help programs out there. You know, Smokers Anonymous, Alcoholic Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, these anonymous programs. They try to get you off of those sinful practices through the flesh, but the nature is still set on sin. So what Christ does, he gives you a new nature, so therefore you can walk away from those type of practices. It's like putting a bandage on a cancer. You can hide the cancer with a bandage, but you won't get rid of the cancer. So you can go to these self-help programs, and it seems like, you know, you're doing something for that perfect, for that one sin, maybe the alcohol, the cigarettes, but what about the other sins that's just as deadly as the sin you're trying to get away from? That's what sin is. It's within the nature of man. So this is why God goes to the heart of the matter. The Bible says in the book of 1 Samuel 16 and 7 that God sees not as man sees, for man judges from an outward appearance, but God judges the heart. So when God looks in our heart, he sees that wickedness, that rebellious heart. And the book of Hebrews, the third chapter, around the 12th verse, the Bible said, let not many of you have the evil heart of unbelief. That's an evil heart of unbelief. Not willing to believe what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ. You believe what people say about evolution. You believe what people say about the Big Bang Theory, which has not been proven, but the Word of God has been proven in a lot of those who believe in Christ. Now, so many people I've met who was alcohol, drug addicts, down and out, but when they gave their life to Christ, Jesus Christ blessed them with a sound mind. And they came out of those sins and they started living for Christ. But where's the proof of evolution? Things evolve. From what? But that's what people want to believe in because they're not willing to believe in God's truth. So if you don't believe in the truth of the Word of God, you're open for any lies to come after that. The theories of this world. The rudiments of the elements of this world, which is controlled by Satan the devil. So you owe it to yourself to get into the Word of God and see how you stand with God. In the book of 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. A lot of people think they're in the faith just because they got baptized in the church as an infant. Or they think they're in the faith just because they go to church every Sunday. That will not put you in God's kingdom. You come into the kingdom of God when you accept Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior. That's when you come into God's kingdom. Because God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And the Holy Spirit is God's kingdom that God gives those who will put their faith in Christ. So yes, when a person gets saved, they stop hanging out at the bar. They stop hanging out at the nightclubs. They stop drinking. They stop using all type of filthy language. Why? Because the Holy Spirit takes over their heart. The Holy Spirit gives them a new nature. A nature that loves the things of God. And a nature that hates the thing that rebel against God. It's just the flip side of things. Before you were saved, you loved sin. After you get saved, you love righteousness. In the book of Psalm 97 and 10, the Bible says, he who loves righteousness hates sin. Hate for evil, but you have a love for righteousness. Because the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding you on a daily basis. So when you read the Bible, in Christ you will not be convicted. You will not have that guilt. Many people want to read the Bible before they get saved, and they say, I don't understand the Bible. You'll never understand the Bible if you're not saved. Because you know why? The Bible is God's spiritual book. That's only for those who are in Christ. You need the Holy Spirit to understand the Bible. And you see, because, see, God's laws goes contrary to the way we are living in sin. Everything is just the opposite. Deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow Christ. What the world says, take care of yourself. Love yourself, you know? They have this self-help magazine. It's always self, 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 self. Me, myself, and I. God said, deny yourself. In other words, look to Christ. See what Christ did, and you go out and do the same thing. But in our society, people are looking at self. That's why we have abortion, selfishness. Women are not willing to be responsible. Men are not willing to be responsible to marry the young lady. They just want to be selfish. What's in it for me? If I don't see anything in it for me, I don't want to have nothing to do with you or anybody else. But see, if Jesus Christ or God thought like that, no one would be living on planet Earth. Imagine if God said, wait a minute. Are you paying any rent while you live on this earth? Well, on earth, you've got to pay rent to live here. What the how cost of rent that we pay in New York? You get thrown off the earth. But see, God is not like that. Praise God. The Bible says God is not like man. See, God is he's a loving God. He's a God of long-suffering, patiently waiting for his creation to repent. But one day, it's going to happen. The last day, the day of judgment. You ever thought about it? What's going to happen on the other side of death? I mean, think about it. Now, we know that the Bible speaks about three places, heaven, earth, and hell. Only a fool say, I don't believe there is earth, because we're living on earth. If one part is right, why not the other two? There is a place called heaven. That's God's throne. There's a place called hell, God's punishment for those who would die in their sins. Now, Jesus Christ, speaking about hell in the book of Matthew 25, 40, 41, down to verse 45, Jesus said to a group of people who rebelled against him on that last day, he said, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting torment, the place in which my Father has prepared for the devil and his demons. So many people say, if God made hell, I don't want to believe in that God. But why did he make hell? For the devil and his demons, not for man. when people reject God's love, Jesus Christ, yes, they will go to hell. So let Jesus Christ be your example. Let Jesus Christ be your Lord. See, Jesus Christ never went along with the Pharisees, those religious leaders. That's why the Pharisees hated him. When you don't go along with the status quo, they would hate you too. When you say no to wickedness and yes to righteousness, they will call you a bigot. They will call you a fanatic. They don't have anything to do with you. But it's up to the individual to say, look, who am I going to live for? I'm going to live for man, I'm going to live for Christ. If you're going to live for Christ, then don't worry about what man say about you. If you're going to live for man, then you just forget about the word of God, because you can't serve two masters. Amen. It's either Jesus Christ or it's either the world's way, which is controlled by Satan the devil. So Jesus Christ suffered. He shed his blood. Now God is not asking us to go out there to be crucified. He's just telling us to crucify those evil thoughts that goes contrary to his holy commandments. That's what he means by suffering in the flesh. Don't allow those feelings to get you to sin against God. Don't allow those thoughts to get you to go out there to do something contrary to the word of God. That's what he's saying. In other words, to resist that, it's going to be a lot of pain, suffering. Because I know when I first got saved, and I used to walk down the street sometime and see things, and I used to try to, you know, like it kept coming back to my mind, and I didn't want to think about it, and I'm trying to push it out, but now I know what to do, just cast it down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's a spiritual battle that's going on. It's the battle for the mind and the soul of man. So we have to protect ourselves with God's holy word by giving our lives over to Christ and coming and take Jesus' hands. You know, Jesus, if anyone cannot snatch him out of his hands, if he keeps you, you will not be lost, because he has the power to keep us. In the book of 1 Peter 1:5, the Bible said that we're kept by the power of God. There's no force on planet Earth greater than the power of God. See, if you put the word of God in your heart and live by it, that's how God can keep you. But if you don't put the word of God in your heart and live by it, then God can't keep you. Because God works on this earthly realm through his holy words. And this is why Jesus Christ always emphasized on reading the word of God, believing in the word of God, and living by the word of God, because we are kept by the word of God. That's why God has given us the Bible. So we can read it, believe what it says, put it in our hearts, and live by it. Now, if you just think the Bible is just another book, well, you missed the whole point already. Because it's not just another book. It's God's book. Instruction manual for living according to a righteous standard that God loves, a living in Christ. So we can know what God loves and what God hates just by reading the Bible. God loves righteousness. God hates sin. God set an atonement for sin, Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God in the flesh, Emmanuel, Matthew 1:23. So when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he went to the cross to show his love for you. You know what Jesus said in the book of John 15:13? No greater love than this, than a man to give up his life for his friends. Now, he just talked love. He showed love by the death of himself. A lot of people may say they love you, but when you look at the person, you say, where is your love for me, the way you treat me? Where is your love for me, how you know, your attitude toward me? But when Jesus said he loved us, he proved it by dying in our place. People say, well, you know, when Jesus went to the cross, he went to the cross because he did something against Rome. No, he didn't commit a crime against Rome. Pontius Pilate said he find no fault with this just man. Matthew 27 and verse 14. So Jesus, he did not commit a crime against Rome, but we've committed a sin against God. And that's why he went to that cross, because of our sin against God. He was a just man. And a just man died for the unjust. We are unjust. No matter what you may do in this earthly realm, you can never justify yourself before God. You can walk around with religious garments, but you'll never be justified before God. You can speak all these religious creeds, but you can never be justified before God until you accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. In the book of Romans 5:1, the Bible said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That word justified means declared righteous. So God will only forgive those who turn their lives over to Christ and receive his Holy Spirit If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, the Bible said, you're not of His. So you can have a lot of religious creeds, you can have a lot of religious so-called garments, but if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't belong to God. That's your identity to God. It's the Holy Spirit by faith in Christ. And this is what God wants you to do, is to turn your life over to Christ, to escape His judgment, because when He judged, He just wanted to punish the devil and his demons. That's all. He never wanted man to suffer. He never wanted man to go to hell. He only wanted the devil and his demons, because there's no salvation for the devil and his demons. This is why God gave salvation to man, so therefore we can separate ourselves from the power of the devil and be saved by faith in Christ. But since you have a free will, He gives you the power to exercise that will to accept or reject. You know, in the Garden of Eden, before God placed the tree there, Adam had no choice. And a lot of people say that God set Adam up. He didn't set him up. He just gave Adam a choice. And the choice was either to obey what God said by not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or disobey what God said by eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, Jesus Christ gives us a choice. We have a choice now. And that choice is to accept Jesus Christ or to reject Jesus Christ. That's our choice. So those who accept Jesus Christ, they will come into God's kingdom by the Holy Spirit. Those who reject Jesus Christ, they will remain in their sins. So you still be governed by the law of sin and death if you have not received Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. But for those who accept Christ, they're under the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus, the law of redemption. So this is what love, peace, happiness, joy, assurance of eternal life will come into your heart when you accept Jesus Christ. Now, there are many people I talk to in Times Square, and they tell me I'm so empty and dry on the inside. I was just talking to a young man the other day, Brad. He's about 47 years old. And he told me he's just like a shell. He said, I'm just like a walking dead. That's a life outside of Christ. You have no assurance. You have no life. You see yourself going lower and lower and lower in sin. But Christ gives you that confidence that you can come out of that sin and serve a holy and righteous God. So don't be victimized by the lies of the devil because of your condition. Well, you tried everything else. Nothing works. Might as well live with it until you die. That's a lie from the devil. Christ works. It's like anything else. You got to give Him a try. You can go out and look at a car and you can say, well, that car is no good. Well, how would you know unless you get in and try to drive it? So invite Christ into your life. Forget about what people say about religion. Christ is not religion. Christ is salvation. Religion is a deception to keep you away from salvation. So invite Christ and read the Word of God and put it into practice. Don't be so quick to believe what other people tell you about the Word of God, about religious hypocrites. There is a lot of religious hypocrites out there. I'm not saying that they're not. But Christ is not a religious hypocrite. He is salvation. Okay? So when you come to Christ, you have to block out all these so-called worldly sayings and just get into the Word of God for yourself and see what Jesus Christ can do for your life as an individual. See, He came for the individual. This is why the Bible said, Jesus said in the book of John 8:24, unless you believe that I am He, you should die in your sins. You have to believe that. As an individual, to exercise your God-given faith to accept Christ to be saved. Now you can let other people experience of a church, of a religion, keep you away from Christ. Say, well, it's all the same. It's not all the same. That's why Jesus said in the book of John 14:6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come unto the Father but by me. So He's saying He's a better way. He's another way, the only way to get to God. During the time Christ came on this earth, there were many religions. This is nothing new. But Jesus Christ stood above all because He was God's truth. So maybe you was born, raised up as a Roman Catholic, or maybe you got involved with the Seventh-day Adventists or Jehovah's Witness. These are man-made doctrines that cannot save your soul from God's judgment. So don't let these type of religion keep you away from receiving Christ. Sure, all the religious leaders talk about Christ, but that's not the Christ of the Bible. When you examine their Christ, it's the Christ that they made up to make their religion look like it's legitimate. That's all. But when you read the Christ of the Bible, the Christ of the Bible points people to himself. You ever notice that? Christ points people to himself, not to a man-made religion. He points people to himself to get to God the Father. So we have to get the thing straight while you're living in this life. It's to get into the Word of God, read it, and let the Word of God speak to your heart. Don't try to speak for the Word of God. You know? It's a saying, you know, like when a person goes to court and a lawyer trying to put words in the witness mouth, they said, well, that's leading the witness. Let the witness speak for himself. So don't try to speak for the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak to you by just reading it and taking the Word of God as it at faith value. Like Jesus said, it is written. Just let the Word of God speak to you. Then that way you can get right with God. So Jesus Christ, the Word of God was saying, for as much then as Christ has suffered for you in the flesh, you have to suffer in the flesh too. To resist alcohol, to resist cigarettes, to resist drugs, to resist hanging out in the nightclubs, you have to suffer in the flesh. You know, Paul in the book of Romans, the 7th chapter, Paul said, the things I want to do, that I do not. But the things I don't want to do, that I practice. See, Paul had to suffer when he came to Christ at the beginning. This flesh still, you know, wanted to do things. But since he was in Christ, he knew that's not the right thing to do. But see, the more you yield to the Word of God, the less the flesh will have effect in your life. That's a mature Christian, because you're living, you're being led by God's Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. But you see, you have to condition yourself for that as you read, pray, and put in practice what the Word of God says. So remember, God has each and every one of us, has given each and every one of us his love. And what you do with it, God loves Jesus Christ, will determine where your soul spend eternity. So don't play the blame game. Don't blame God for what man is doing in the name of God, because you don't have anything to do with God. A lot of people do that because they're not willing to change. So to try to justify not changing, they're trying to blame God for all the wickedness that's going on in the name of God. So Jesus Christ said in the book of John 16 and verse 2, Jesus said that there shall come a time when they shall kill you, thinking they're doing God's service. So it's a lot of evil that's going on in the name of God. But Jesus has nothing to do with this evil. Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. He came to redeem us from God's judgment. That is an act of a loving Savior. That is not an act of a person who's out there playing games. This is serious. Your life is very serious. Your soul is very valuable. That's the most valuable thing you have, is your soul. Not your money. Not your bank account. Not your degree and education. But your soul is the most valuable thing that you have. And you should treasure that. And you should trust your soul to the one who died for you, Jesus Christ. Anything less than Jesus Christ, you're throwing your life away in the passing pleasures of sin. And you're going to realize that on the other side of death, that you have thrown your life away. And there's nothing that you can do to change it. Because once you have died, you're going to be forever sealed. And that seal will determine where your soul spend eternity. Now, you can be sealed by the Holy Spirit in the book of Ephesians 1:13, or you can be sealed in sin. First Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse. So which will it be for you? Be sealed by the Holy Spirit by receiving Christ, or remain in your sins and die in your sins and forever sealed in sin. And that sin will carry your soul to hell forever. So each and every one of us in here tonight who has not been saved, you have a choice to make. Do you want to be saved? Or do you think you're good enough to get to heaven without Christ? People think that. You know why they think that? Because they give money to charity, and they say, well, I live a pretty decent life. I don't do a lot of things that other people do. Friend, in the eyes of God, you can go out there and you can be just like Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very religious man. Jesus Christ never said anything bad about Nicodemus' character. But one thing Nicodemus liked was to put faith in Christ, and he did. Nicodemus was obedient to the laws of Moses. He kept the Sabbath. He did all those things. But Jesus told this man, who's a religious man, you must be born again. And he's telling us today, who's not been saved, those who have not been saved, he said, you must be born again. In the book of Titus 3:5, the Bible said, it is not by the works of righteousness in which we have done, but according to his grace he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing by the Holy Spirit. So you cannot earn salvation by works, even though we do work after we get saved. But our work after salvation is not because of we're trying to earn salvation, because of salvation. You can't buy salvation. That's not a price tag on it. It's not like a commodity that you go and buy. You can receive salvation by faith. And this is what God wants us to do, to receive it by faith. And anyone that's living on this earth can do that, because we all have faith. Romans 12:3 said that God has dealt to each and every one of us the measurable amount of faith. How you exercise your faith in this life will determine where you spend eternity on the other side of death. You can ignore what I'm saying and remain in sin, or you can take it at heart and receive Christ for your salvation. But I pray that you would think about it, because, friend, you have to stand before the one who died for you one day. In the book of 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Bible says, so then every one of us must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give account of our life, to give account that which we have done, whether it's good or bad. That's just how it is. When you went to school, every month you took a test. You used to have a weekly test to try to, to see how you progressed in your lesson. But every month you have a so-called, you have an overall test. But on the day of judgment will be the sole day in which each and every one of us will be judged. Everything you have thought, said, and done in this life is just a matter of records. And the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation 20:12 that those books will be open. And those books are the record book that God has on each and every one of us. You have a life, and you have a record, because you're born on this earth, you lived on this earth, and everything you've done has been recorded. So have a clean record before God by receiving Christ. Turn your life over to Christ for your salvation. So therefore, on the day of judgment, you'll not be standing there guilty, you'll be standing there justified in Christ. So think about it. This is your life. And you can abuse it. That's your soul, and you can lose it. Heaven or hell is how you choose it. You make the choice. It's up to you. You want to remain in sin? Think of somehow, some way, you can earn salvation. Friend, you're going to die and go to hell. But if you accept Christ and receive the Holy Spirit, you go to heaven. Think about it. Tonight we're going to be singing from page 349, Trust and Obey. Everybody, please stand. 349, trust and obey. You put your trust in Christ and obey the word of God as you read, pray, and fast and live according to God's holy word. Everybody, please stand. Page 349, trust and obey.
Trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly draws it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can abide. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Yes, God wants each and every one of us to trust in Jesus. Obey the word of God. God said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God has risen from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Trust in Christ by obeying the word of God and get saved before time, turning to eternity, be ever too late to be saved. God bless.
But we never can prove the delight of his love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor he shows and the joy he bestows, all the Lord who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side. Says we will do, where he sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and
our precious Heavenly Father, truly we know there is only one way. And we know, Father, that it is not a difficult way. We have put more pressure on ourselves, for the simplicity of God's word is even for a child to receive.
Amen.
So, Father, we pray that you will bless your holy word that was sent forth through Brother Solomon. We know, Father, as any of us behind this pulpit, there's nothing in ourselves, but that which is of Christ through us. We know, O God, you will use your word. You will not let it return unto thee void. So, Father, bless each one of us here tonight. Bless the food that is to be received. We know without you, Lord, it could not be possible. So, not only for the physical food for our bodies, more important, the food of your holy word, the bread of life. Father, we thank you that this food is for the very soul that will go into eternity. But we pray that as each one leaves this place tonight, maybe holding that bag of food going out the door, we pray that they may realize they've made a decision also about their soul. So, Father, have mercy upon them. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We thank you, O God, and we praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for your time.